Well, I'd like to add my personal congratulations to all of you high school seniors, you college seniors. Things have changed a lot in graduations from when I graduated in 1974, I might add, from E.B. Irwin High School. My mom got so excited, she said, let's go take some pictures. So we went to the backyard, and we had this like forest of pine trees, and she just took a couple pictures. She said, oh, lean against that tree. So I'm leaning against this tree. That's all cool. And then when I went to leave the tree didn't want to leave me. I had sap all over my gown now. We had 2 days after that, we had to go to the graduation, you know, and I see these kids, they graduate with all these things, these cords and these curtains and whatever else all hanging all over their neck. I was just glad my gown had a zipper. It was just amazing the things that they're doing at. So we're really, really proud of you guys. Today we are going ahead with a series called Forgotten Essentials. It's the little bitty things that we need to be reminded of that are essential in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I used the illustration a couple of weeks ago that if we were to talk about crime, we understand that murder is maybe on one end of the extreme and a lie is on the other, in that they're both bad deals and we know that both of them are sin. But boy, do we treat murder a lot more important than we do the lie. We could go through our life, and if we didn't kill anybody that day, we didn't blow up a bank, you know, or anything like that. But yet we told a couple of lies. We're going, well, we're doing pretty good on the average or whatever. The problem is that it's essential that we also tell the truth. And we forget that because sometimes we use it in comparison instead of the personal application. So that's why we're coming back to these essentials, things that we probably just kind of glaze right over. We may not be doing great or whatever, but God says, you know what? I want you to do the best that you possibly can. Well, I found this as a portion of a devotional, and I want to read it to you as introduction to what we're going to talk about today. It says, in this fast-paced world that we live in, we often put the end before the means because time is of the essence. The bottom line is the top priority, and we all want to finish strong as long as we finish first. Ambition is our fuel, success, our reward, people are our currency. After all, we have a lot to do, so who has time for people? And then it says, oh, that's right, Jesus does. Jesus does. Our life can be so demanding and so occupied with the urgent and the immediate that we forget that God wants us to do an awful lot of things on the way to being excellent followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that we don't get do-overs? You don't get to do yesterday again. Now, there might be some repeats of some circumstances, and maybe you can do it better, but you don't get to do do-overs. However, we do get to relive our regrets again and again and again. There's certain things that we look back over, and we just wish we'd have done a better job of it. And one of the essentials in light of this introduction that I have here that we have is not slow down and smell the roses. This isn't that things are going so fast that we need to just kind of slow it down a little bit, pay more attention. It's not about that every day is a gift, so live life at its fullest. Those are maybe a couple of other cliches for our graduates that wasn't on the video, which I thought was pretty accurate. But rather, we want to talk today about a characteristic of Jesus Christ that needs to be evident in every believer that calls him his Lord and his Savior. But I think it's very, very blatantly missing in our culture today. It's called gentleness. Wow, did that register right there on the big alarm? Did that bells and whistles go off? And you're going, oh, yeah, of course not. Gentleness, gentleness. But it's a huge part of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you ever want to get a reward. I don't know if you wanted somebody to go, and the word for gentleness, it just doesn't, has a lot of power to it, doesn't it? Does it sound real woohoo? But yet, it's probably one of the greatest things and part of some of the biggest things that Jesus Christ wants us to be a part of. I want you to look at Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 5 with me real quick. This is what the Bible says. Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is near. Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is here. Now, let me ask you something. How many times in the last week has somebody treated you with gentleness? I mean, just stop and think about it. How often do you run across anybody who treats you with gentleness? Turn that around and ask yourself, how many times do I know? I can literally remind myself in my head that I stopped, I slowed down the pace of life, I put my minds on the urgent and the important in this person's life, and I treated them with gentleness. It's a discipline. This isn't something you're just born with. It's going to be tough. Gentleness, by definition, is this: kind, not severe, not rough, are violent. Now, listen, this is a lot more than just being polite. This is a lot more than just growing up and your dad did a good job of teaching you manners. This is about kindness on steroids. Listen, if I'm kind to you, you know, I'll let you go in front of me. I'll open the door for you, whatever. But gentleness, it's about treating the person and not just the act. It's not about I'll open the door, because you know what? I can open that door and let you go first, and it's an inanimate object. I don't have to intervene with you. I don't have to interact with you. We don't have to have a conversation. I don't have to follow it up. You might say, well, thank you. You ever been to a restaurant? That's happened to me all the time. You get turned into the doorman? You just kind of get hung there? And there's a line of people. You're just going, I'd like to go, please, or I'd like to go in myself, but just this line of people. You see, I didn't interview any of those people. We didn't talk afterwards or anything like that. It's just a kindness. But gentleness is like kindness on steroids. It's when you go beyond. It's the next step that we go through this. Leo Rostin said this: it is the weak who are cruel. The weak who are cruel. Gentleness is to be expected only from the strong. Only from the strong. My dad always told me, he said, son, if somebody throws a fist at you, he said, I want you to respond appropriately. He said, but don't let them know that you didn't like it. He said, you end the argument. I knew what he meant. He said, don't you just take one hit and then you punch them back. He said, you lay them out. You put them under. You let them know, don't you do that ever again. And it's pretty tough. It kind of goes against the grain of most of us. But at the same time, if we take that approach, what we're looking at gentleness, gentleness isn't, hey, see, I'm a nice guy. No, it's going beyond that and making sure that you understand this is a lot more than me just having a good manner or me doing the appropriate thing. I want to make sure that you know that I preferred you and not just the fact that I was going to open the door for you. It's difficult to do that because gentleness doesn't fit in this get ahead, dog eat dog, very aggressive world that we live in. Now, most of you right now, you're really struggling because you know gentleness is a big deal, but you're really trying to figure out, well, where does that really fit into my life? Because, see, most of you I know are nice people. You don't live these lives where you demean people. You don't cuss people out. You don't cut them off and forget traffic. But, you know, you don't get angry at people at the cash register, do you? None of you have ever been upset because you've had poor service in a restaurant. You've never thought something bad about that person who parks their car right in the middle of two places because their car is just too precious to be dinged up by somebody else. Well, I don't know if that applies to you or not. But unfortunately, in this world, we tend to run over people instead of relate to them. We're so busy, we're so active, and we got things to do that we don't even think of them. May I remind you that just because the world tends to act that way does not give us the permission or the excuse to act that way ourselves. That's the way they work, but that's not the way that we should work. Listen, I understand that, you know, sometimes we have this attitude of, you know, get after it and everything, but we should never treat people with, hey, you know, just get a little more mental tough, okay? Because I'm not getting softer, so you need to just buck up and get with it. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with anybody's personality. I'm going to tell you what, when you treat people like that, you may treat them to, you know, get a little tougher, but what you're treating them really is you're conditioning them to lay a layer of indifference between you and them so that you can't hurt them. And I don't see Jesus doing this anywhere in the Scriptures. Listen, we pray for a lot of things. We pray for strength. We pray for boldness. We pray for courage. We look at Romans 8 and we say, God, I want the confidence to be an overcomer. We pray for all of these things. But when was the last time that you prayed, dear Jesus, please help me. Give me a gentle spirit. You see, gentleness, for most of us, isn't something we want because it makes us feel wimpy. We're praying for a weakness in the faith instead of a strength in the faith. And that's all got it backwards. I'm going to tell you what. What is that thing about, you know, that you will win people's favor by being nice to them a lot more than you will being rough to them? You know, it makes common sense, doesn't it? People embrace people who are kind and gentle to them. But if somebody's abrasive to you, you want to get away from them. You will never call them to be your friend. And that's not the way the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do to you. Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 18 through 21. This is a portion of Isaiah 42 that is being seen in the New Testament. And it says, I will pour out my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. Now I'm going to tell you what, if you've ever read that, you just read right over it. It's Isaiah 42. It's a reference from the Old Testament about Jesus, and it probably doesn't touch us a whole lot. But it says here that with this reed thing that he will not bruise a reed. But in the ancient times of Isaiah, the reeds were used as musical instruments. And as such, if it ever got soft or if it ever cracked, then it was no good anymore and it was thrown away. And a wick, whenever it burns down to the point that it won't give any flame, then it's no use as well. And what Isaiah is saying, Jesus, the Messiah, when he comes, he's not going to treat these reeds like insignificant, no big deal things that they're non-productive anymore if they're broken or they become soft. A wick, it becomes useless and we just throw it aside when we no longer need it. But Jesus will not even snuff out the wick. You know what he's talking about? Forget reeds or wicks. He's talking about people. He's talking about people. That Jesus is going to embrace every one of us along those lines. But too often there's a lot of broken people out there that we have discarded and we've overlooked. We haven't even paid attention to them. Matter of fact, we've mistreated them. You know why? Because our cause was a little more important and our agenda was a little more out there in front of anything instead of their feelings. I got to tell you, we meet a lot of people that we'll never have to bump into again. You ever go to the airport? I promise you, if I've ever had to go to the desk, and I do go to the desk because I've had to do that kiosk thing, or is that the right word? The little thing out there where you just go up and all you can do is use your passport or your ID or whatever. It's this machine that's supposed to give you a plane ticket, and it's been a long time since I've done it. I don't know how to do that thing, and it frustrates my wife. It just drives her crazy. So I end up with these people, and you know what? I forget it. I just hand it all to Debbie. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I'm not worried about ever meeting those people ever again. But the Bible says that, you know what, I need to be worried about meeting them again, not because I think I might, but because they're a person that I met once. That's the important thing. How fortunate are we that Jesus doesn't love us based on our usefulness or potential? Wow, isn't that strong? That he doesn't take us and say, this is how valuable you are to me, because if we don't have value, then how is he going to teach us? Well, maybe it makes us also wonder about the times that we have run over our spouse or run over our kids, run over our friends or coworker. You know why? Because we could. You ever notice that? It's because you could. Maybe you have the power, or you have the upper hand, or you have the authority, you have the title. You can just do whatever you want to. I'm going to tell you what, when you do that, you just leave a lot of human carnage in the back and in the side of everything down there. You just leave people in pieces. You know, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't do that way. And what it is basically we have left no room for gentleness in our agenda. We're so busy. We have some place to go. We got something to do. We're only thinking of ourselves. And I've tried to avoid that word for as long as I can, but the bottom line is if we are not gentle, you know what? We are selfish. And that is not a great characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor of his believers. Remember, gentleness, once again, the definition, it is kind, not severe, not rough, and not violent. Isn't it amazing that when you look at this definition, it talks about not severe, not rough, and not violent. I think they do that because we know what it is to be rough with people. We know what it is to be violent. We know what it is to treat things severe, but kind, maybe something that we have to rehearse a little bit. Go back and look it up and remind ourselves what God wants us to do with that. If you've ever held a brand new baby, and most of us have, you know what you do? You take that and you coddle those kids and you just caress them and you make sure, because they're so delicate and they're so vulnerable and they're so easily hurt, that you just scoop your hands all underneath them. I remember when Casey was born, this was my first new baby type thing, and you know, I remember the way they treated her when she was born. I'm going, hey, you know what? That's a kid. It's a human being, you know, and they're just, you know, and all this other stuff. And I'm just going, God, what are we doing? Gutting chickens here? I mean, it was crazy. It was nuts. But then they handed her to me, and I just didn't know what to do. Matter of fact, the longest time since Casey didn't have any laces, I didn't know what to do with her. So I'd put her in a pillow, and I would take her for walks in this pillow for crying out loud, because I didn't know how to hold her. She wasn't big enough to be handled yet and that type of thing. But that's what we do with little babies. You know what? This is the way we should treat each other. This is literally the way God wants us to treat each other. Now, please, I don't want to see anybody grabbing somebody and scooping them up. Whatever you do, don't even try that. But you know what I'm saying? We should treat each other, because every one of us know that all of us have the potential to be broken. We are delicate, we are fragile, and we are easily hurt. And most of the time, the way you hurt me will not be physical. It will be emotional. It'll be the way you looked at me. It'll be what you said about me. It's something like that. And we can avoid every one of those things. Listen, I know some of us are not going to really want to hear this, but not once in Scripture does Jesus support his superiority by saying, suck it up. Not once. Not once did Jesus say, hey, you know, grow a thick skin. Come on, get with the program here. Yeah, we're all pulling our weight. How about you just get a little tougher there? How about a little mental toughness? No, Jesus never did that. Instead, Jesus went the other extent to make sure that everybody was taken care of. He said this, you know, in conjunction with the person that he was. So listen to this. If the characteristics and the attributes of being gentleness are tenderness and caring and kindness, then you know what? What does it say to us about the people who are indifferent and demanding and overbearing? That tells me that they have lacked gentleness. Which one of those has described you in the last week? Have you walked around, if the people that we could have interacted with you, the people you've talked to over the phone, much less in person, if we interviewed them, would they say, yeah, this person treated me tenderly, nicely, kindly. They were very patient. They tried to understand. Or were we abrasive? Were we demanding? We were indifferent. I mean, it really boils down to that. We all love the fourth chapter of Philippians. Let me read it to you real quick. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, and here comes that scripture again. Let your gentleness be evident to all men, because the Lord is near. It goes on to say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if it has virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. And we love that scripture. But here's what it says. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is here. Right in the middle of this powerful scripture that says, think on these things. Don't be anxious for anything, but pray for all of this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Here are those things. Let your gentleness be evident to all men. You shouldn't have to tell them you're gentle. It should be obvious. They should be able to tell another person just by looking across the room whether you're a gentle person or not. Because gentleness isn't always something displayed just between me and you. It's the way I treat somebody else and somebody's watching me. Most of the time, that's the way people are going to see gentleness displayed. Not only personally, but collectively as we treat one another. But then there's this four little words right in the middle of nowhere. It's overlooked, and it says, the Lord is near. I wonder, is God saying, I'm right here to help you in being gentle? I think so. It's hard to be gentle. Some people just do not deserve gentleness. I mean, stop and think about it. You're just going, really? God, do I have to be gentle to this person? And he says, do they have a pulse? And there you answer your question. And it's difficult, because some people are just difficult, all right? They're the ones lacking gentleness, but yet God asks you to be gentle toward them. Being gentle isn't easy. We need his help. Or when it says the Lord is near, is he saying this? I'm here and I'm watching the way you treat people. Everything you do, the way you treat people, will not go unnoticed. You know why this is a forgotten essential that we need to resurrect today? It's because I think we are going to be amazingly surprised when we do stand before Jesus, before entering into heaven and being all of those things that we want to celebrate, that when he looks back over our lives, it's not going to be the horrible thoughts we had, the things that we said, the horrible four-letter words that came out of our mouth. I think it's going to be times when we had the ability, we had the capability, we had the encouragement to be gentle, but we decided we would just be rough because we were too busy, too preoccupied with ourselves. And we miss the moment. I think it's personally both. So how do we resurrect this incredible, forgotten essential of gentleness? Let me give you three things real quick, and these are going to make so much sense to you. It's pitiful. The first thing is this. Just simply be gracious. Remember that word, gracious? An appropriate way to view gentleness is through the lens of graciousness. You remember what grace is? Grace is when you get something you didn't deserve and you didn't earn it. So here's this person that you come in contact with. It's an inept waitress or somebody who's just, you know, got a bad day and they're dumping on you, whatever. And you know what? Right at that moment, you just want to set them straight or you just want to just let them know how you feel, but God encourages you to be gentle. You know what you're expending to them? You are being gracious. You're getting them something they didn't deserve and they didn't earn. You see, don't wait for people to be deserving of kindness. Plant it into your life. Work it into the margins of your life. Just go down the road thinking, you know what? I need to be thinking that there's going to be a time here pretty soon. I'm going to cross somebody's path, and they're going to need gentleness. And God's going to need me to be gentle. Just remember, being gracious is who you are and not just what you do. Here's another thing you need to remember about being gracious. It's not about the moment. It's about the commitment. You know what? I can suck it up. You ever gone into one of those circumstances? You said, I'm just going to bite my tongue. I'm not going to say anything bad. And with sheer willpower, you can go through that for a little bit. But after a while, you can't handle it anymore. You know why? Because your name is Dana Williams. I mean, because you just couldn't hold back anymore. All right? You're welcome, Sean. And you just couldn't hold back anymore. All right? And it was one of those things, you see, you were trying to go through the moment, but you need to have a commitment to gentleness and not just trying to fight through this thing so that you'll be the right person on the other end of this, so that people will say the right thing. So you'll say, yeah, I made it through that, because what changed in you? That you outlasted the moment? No way. Lance Witt, in his book called Replenish, he writes about Olaf. Olaf is a pastor from Norway. He said, Olaf is an older pastor from Norway. I invited him to dinner at my home. Although well into his 70s, I knew he would connect with my kids, all of which were in the 20s. And I wanted them to be exposed to one of the most gracious men I have ever been around. When I greeted him at the door, he stretched out his arms and in Hebrew gave a blessing over our home and our family. For the next 3 hours, I watched him delight in us and in the Lord. I don't remember much about the conversation that night, but I do remember how kind and gracious he was with each person in our family. Olaf is that rare person who doesn't make you want to be like him. He makes you want to be like Jesus. I am convinced that one major reason he has such an impact is his master of graciousness. Just being gracious. Then it just pours out from you. People immediately, the defenses fall to the ground. They want to embrace you. They want to see you stay and not go. They want to spend more time with you. They want to hear more about your story. You know why? Because you're more interested about their story. The second thing is this. We need to get healthy. Some of us are so unhealthy emotionally and spiritually that there is no room for gentleness in there. We are struggling all the time, and too many of us literally need to beef up. We need to get healthy in the areas of our emotions and our spirituality. See, it's just like our bodies, and it's just like our routines, and just like our disciplines. There's too many abuses. There's too many inconsistencies. There's too many inadequacies in this situation. There's too many unhealthy habits to support a life of grace and kindness and gentleness. The way we approach life, we're mad before we get there. We're upset before we get there. We leave the house ready for a fight. We're in this to win it. We're going to overcome this. We're going to outdo them. We're going to just run over people because we don't have time for anything else. And you know what? If you get healthy in your emotions, you get healthy spiritually, then God conditions you for everything that you face out there. And you'll be amazed at the end of the day how not tired you are, how not worn out you are, how unabused you feel, how excited you have, the more energy you have. You want to pour more into people because, you know, you haven't been drained by everything that's going on out there. You know why? Because you started the day healthy instead of unhealthy. The last thing is simply this. Use your words. Your words have power. Most of us live in a world that we're verbally beat up. There's some of you the reason that you're having a hard time with some of the things you're going to face and the places you're trying to go and the future you want to create is because of what people said to you way back here. I'm not going to get into that child psychology thing, but there are some things that you were treated like back here. You know what? Somebody as an employer treated you this way. Somebody dumped on you back there. Somebody mistreated you back there. They should have been kind and gentle. It may not have changed the outcome, but it would have changed you. But the problem is we have these words, and some of us, our biggest regret that I talked about earlier is what we said to somebody. Dana, I'm sorry. I should have never used your name in the conjunction with somebody that, never mind. I apologize publicly and profusely. Here we go. She's leaving the church even as we speak. It's tough. I tried to do as gentle as I could. I should move on? Okay, sorry. Here's the deal. We just need to work into our lives that we're going to be a blessing to people with our words. You see, you get to choose your words. You may not get to choose what happens next. You may not choose the next confrontation you have, the next, you know, circumstance that comes out. You don't know what's around the bend, but you do get to practice your words. And if we practice them, a lot of times they will crawl right out of us and it'll be surprising to us that we even use them. Mother Teresa said this, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. How many times have we blessed somebody with their words? You know, these seniors are graduating and people are going to congratulate them and, you know, we're going to write checks and we're going to say yay and everything. But somewhere along there is the people who took the time to say, I am so proud of you. And it's not because I got an invitation and it's not because I'm supposed to do this. It's because I have seen you go from here to here and I can't wait to see where you're going. Man, that'll be the fuel that'll take them through the rough times ahead. It'll be the thing that will sustain them when they do get removed from this setting, which is comfortable, and they're out there, whether it's a college setting or whether it's a work setting or whether when they become a young adult and get married and they don't know what to do, they're going to remember words that are going to rescue them. And that's what we need to do. Our words have two powers. It has staying power and changing power. Words, 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 they're just powerful. So let me just end by asking you a very common sense question. Do you feel the gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ as he speaks to your heart right now? What is he saying to you? Is he telling you how horrible you are? Is he reminding you what a failure you've been this week? Is he telling you that you have just been an extreme disappointment? No way. My God doesn't talk like that. You know what he's saying to you right now? You know, I want you to be gentle like my son was gentle. And when he spoke to those children, I can just see him. A lot of times the picture is he's sitting on a rock, but I don't know if he sat on a rock or whether he stooped down, but all these kids came around him, and what did all the adults say? Get those kids away from him. He's too busy. He's got a greater agenda. What are we doing? I know it was a part of the culture. The kids were supposed to be heard and not seen. They were supposed to be in the background. What did Jesus do? He pushed them to the forefront. And he said, God forbid you take these away from me. How cool is that? You know what? We're that crowd of kids today. We really are. In our hearts, we may be big and boisterous, and we may be trying to, you know, be our own man and woman. We may walk around with the pride that we deserve. We've done an awful lot of things. We've come a long way. There's a lot of miles behind us and still four to go. But you know what? The bottom line is, in our hearts, every one of us are still fragile, delicate, and easily hurt. And I'm sorry if me or anybody else has hurt you, but Jesus Christ has never hurt you. Listen to his voice right now. How gentle is he being with you? And if there is a forgotten essential called gentleness that maybe today you're feeling like you've been a little inept in, listen to him say, you know what? I forgive you. And tomorrow's going to be a better day. Because I love you. How cool is that? Those are some pretty good words, aren't they? You bow your heads with me. Father, it is my prayer and it's my intent to give us the opportunity to visit that moment of being gentle based on this very moment where you're being gentle with us. God, we've got a lot of examples. There are some people that have walked into our world, and they have just been so gracious. They've overlooked so much. They've seen us make mistakes and fall on our face time and time again, and they've been there for us time and time, time again, but none like you. So today, Father, we are drawn to you. We thank you for these people, the few that you've stepped into our life, and they've seen us as human beings, and they've not run over us, and their agenda hasn't been so fast-paced that we were just cogs on a wheel. Instead, we were people in their path. But today, Father, help us to listen to your voice. And if it's a cry for forgiveness, please tell us right now how much you care for us. Your Bible says that you do forgive us, but all we have to do is just confess and you forgive us. So, Lord, on behalf of myself and everyone here, I pray that you will forgive us for not being gentle. Forgive us for setting our pace according to what the world says instead of what your Bible says. Forgive us for living a life that has been set by us, by the corporate world, and by a schedule and by a personal agenda instead of the Holy Spirit of God. Forgive us when we've been abrasive and indifferent. Forgive us when we have literally just ramrodded and run over people and treated them like things instead of people. Forgive us, oh God, for being so busy, that we don't even hear your voice. All we hear is our voice telling people to line up and get in line and get out of the way and strengthen up so that we can get something accomplished. Instead, God, let us be examples, followers, devoted people who love Jesus Christ. May the characteristic of Jesus be evident in our lives to the point that all men know it. Because, Father, you gave us this admonition that you are near. We feel you. We pray, oh God, that you will strengthen us as such. So be with us today, Father. It's real easy to be conditioned by all the exterior stuff, but this is one of those characteristics that can only be guided by the Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus Christ. Your heads are bowed and your eyes closed, and I'm just going to ask a simple question. Maybe today you haven't felt that sense of gentleness because you have been so busy trying to survive. And you just need Jesus Christ to step in and give you the sense of comfort that only he can give so that your tomorrow will be full of moments of gentleness from him so that you can deliver it to them. If you need that today, would you just raise your hand and put it right back down real quick? You just sense you need that gentleness. Thank you. Anybody else? Real quick. I mean, you're just almost on the verge of regret even right now when you think about the way your life has been so busy that other people have just been things in your way. But not today, because we give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody, real quick, anybody else? Well, let me conclude by praying this. Father, you've seen our hands and our hearts. Gentleness doesn't rank right up there with victory. We don't give plaques. We don't give trophies for people being gentle. But God, we make incredible impressions on other people. We give them the opportunity to experience what grace is. God, we build our own lives. We become healthy by being gracious. And Lord, today I pray that you will fashion our words and fashion our lives so that we will be people that are solid examples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that this forgotten essential will no longer be forgotten, but it will be remembered time and time again. So we will not relive our regrets again and again and again, but instead we will plan again and again and again the opportunity to be embracing and loving and kind and gentle and loving to these people, because Jesus Christ did so to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.